من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطيع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وكل الله بارك فيك. طيب، praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I seek His help, His assistance, and His forgiveness. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none who can misguide him. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to go astray, there is none who can guide him aright. I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his messenger, and the seal of all the prophets. After what proceeds, I greet everyone the greeting of peace and the greeting of the people of Jannah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all. Tayyib, I want to make a short announcement before the ABCs of Islam class has lapsed. Last Wednesday was the last of the sessions of the ABCs of Islam, so it will start over again and it will be postponed until further notice. Another announcement, Sheikh Saeed, he has a wonderful class Saturday after Maghrib, so I adjure everyone to participate. Quick review. The last two classes was concerning the righteous wife, and we went over some attributes, some things we learned in the class, the importance of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and the submission to the Islamic Sharia. We see Allah Azza wa Jal, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَاتٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخَيْرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the importance of obeying Allah and His Messenger. Allah Azza wa Jalla sort of says in Surah Al-Ahzab, translation of which, it is not fitting for any believing man or woman, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed any matter, that they should have any opinion in the affair. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has strayed in plain error. This is one of the pillars of our aqidah. Believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe in His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and submission to Allah, to the order of Allah and His Messenger. We went over this in the last two classes. This is chapter 33, ayah number 36. We also went over the harm of not obeying Allah in respect to the husband's rights, i.e. obedience to your husbands, respect for your husband, and servitude to your husbands, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an ayat of the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, الرجال قوامون على النساء بما قضى الله بعدهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أمر أم بما فضل الله I have my tutor here على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. The men have authority over women due to the excellent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them to man over the woman, and due to the wealth that they spend upon them. This is in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 34. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he says, what this verse is saying, that the man is in charge of the woman, i.e. he is in charge of her, her chief, and the one having authority over her, and the one who corrects her if she inclines away from what is correct. So this is what our Salaf, they understood from this verse. Also some hadith from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, translation of which, every soul from the children of Adam is a master. So the man is the master over his family, and the woman is the mistress of her household. This hadith is declared sahih. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, translation of which, if I were to order anyone to prostrate to other than Allah, I would have ordered the women to prostrate to their husbands. By him in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad, the woman will not fulfill the rights of her Lord until she fulfills the rights of her husband. And even if he were to request for herself, i.e. to have intercourse with her, while she was sitting upon a camel's saddle, she should not refuse him. This hadith is sahih. Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, said this is the standard of Muslim, reported in Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban, and Ahmad. So we see the great right, and we went over this. We covered these issues in the previous class. Another point that we covered in the previous class we went over the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Also, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was asked about a man who has a wife who fasts during the day and stands in prayer throughout the nights. Whenever he calls her to his bed, she refuses and gives precedence to praying in the night, qiyam al-layl, and fasting during the day over obedience to her husband. So is this permissible? The Shaykh rahimahullah, he replied, this is not permissible for her by agreement of the Muslims. Rather, it is obligatory upon her to obey when she is called to her bed. This is a binding obligation upon her. However, standing the night in prayer and fasting during the day is optional. So how can a believing woman give precedence to something optional over an obligation? And there is no right after the rights of Allah and His Messenger binding upon the woman more than the rights of her husband. Allah musta'an. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, rahimahullah, radiyallahu anhu, and said that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, translation of which, if a woman knew the right of her husband, she would not sit when his morning and evening meals were presented to him until he finished. Hadith Sahih. So we see the great right Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the duty that Allah azza wa jal gave the believing women, and the qualities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the believing women, that their servitude of their husbands. This is one of the golden traits of a righteous woman. She serves her husband. She's obedient to her husband. She loves her husband for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he protects her and he spends for her maintenance. Abu Huraira, we also went over the excellence of obeying Allah in respect to your husbands. So we went over, if you don't obey Allah in respect to your husband, what you will get. Now we look at the reward Allah Azza wa Jal is promising the believing women for their struggle. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, translation of which, if a woman, wa alaykum salam, if a woman prays her five prayers, fast her month, guards her private parts, and obeys her husband, it will be said to her, enter paradise through whichever of the gates of paradise you wish. So we see the reward of doing so. We also went over the importance of staying away from his anger. This is an obligation for the women to try to take the leadership role in the social aspect between you and your husband. It's upon you, oh sisters, to your husband is occupied with a bunch of things and ruling the household, going out, earning the bread, bismillah, protecting the home, taking care of the needs of the family. He does not always have time. He's not always going to be in a position where he's always happy. There's going to be some times where you step on his foot. You have to recognize that all these components he has to deal with outside the home, he's going to be in a condition sometimes that he's not going to feel right. He's not going to be emotionally astute, right? He's not going to be emotionally correct. You're going to accidentally step on the wrong nerve. You have to take the leadership role to understand that and to try to stay away from things in which may cause his anger. If you're his husband, if you're his wife, you pretty much know what your husband angers him, what doesn't anger him, what he likes from you, what he doesn't like from you. You pretty much know this. Because 24 hours a day, except that when he's outside the home, he's with you. And he's with no human being when he's with you. So you have to take on the leadership role and understanding that your husband, he's occupied, a lot of things is in his plate. And you have to be woman enough to say, okay, we're not going to fight, okay? I know you've been doing this. Let me give you a massage. I know that you had a long day. I tell you what, here's your plate, hot. You see the steam? Yeah, I made this just for you because I knew you were coming home at 6 o'clock. Right? So the woman has to take the leadership role with the social aspects in the home. If she doesn't, there's a problem. You will have a problem. If you have two leaders in one home, you got a problem. You have a problem. And maybe it'll take an outside source to solve this problem. your woman, she thinks you're the leader, it's a big problem, right? If the man, he knows he's the leader, but he's trying to get his wife to understand, there's going to have to, like Allah Azza wa Jal is giving us the advice to get a party from his family, and a party from her family, so they can mediate, right? This may be a little difficult to do because you don't want anybody in your business. But what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us this advice? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is خلق كل شيء. He's creator of all things. He knows our makeup. He knows how we and fertile. The one who is an asset to her husband, who if her husband becomes angry, comes and places her hand in the hand of her husband and says, I will not taste sleep until you are pleased. Now this is the trace of the believing woman. And Rasulullah ﷺ is encouraging the women to take these roles. This hadith is sahih. So the excellence of the importance of staying away from his anger, Ibn Ubayd Ibn Ubayd radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, who will be English here,
Fadl ibn Iyad.
See, if this is in Arabic I have a better time, but some people English. طيب. What the Sheikh said, رضي الله عنه. عابد الحرمين, his nickname, the servant or the custodian of the Haramain. Okay, he said that the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام said, there are three who are not to be asked about: a man who abandons the Jama'ah and disobeys his ruler and dies in a state of disobedience, so do not ask about him; a female slave or a male slave who flees from his master; and a woman whose husband is away and he has provided for her worldly needs, yet she adorns and displays herself and roams around freely without him. So do not ask about them. This hadith is in Al-Bukhari. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, there are three whose prayers will not be raised above their ears: a runaway slave until he returns, a woman who spends the night whilst her husband is angry with her, and one who leads a people in prayer and they dislike him. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he reports that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, by him in whose hand is my soul, there is no to have intercourse with their husband in the night time. Rasulullah said, by him in whose hand my soul. When the Prophet said this, this means this is something great. It's not just some information but to put emphasis on the validity of the matter, and so that we will remember Rasulullah, he said, by him in whose hand is my soul. There is no man who calls his wife to bed and she refuses him except the one who is in the heaven is angry with her until he is pleased with her. Hadith Sahih and Sahih al-Muslim. Allah musta'an. And we went over that. We talked about that. The excellence of a righteous wife. All you men, listen up. Give ears. The excellence of a righteous wife. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said via Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all of this world is a utility, and the best utility is a righteous wife. And look at Rasulullah, and look at the mentality of the man, right? When he looks at a matter, when he has an option to buy something, or when he looks on a broad scale or something, can I use it or not, right? This is how we think. Can I use it or not? How can this benefit me, right? This is how we men think. And Rasulullah knew this. He said, all of this world is a utility, a tool, right? And the best utility is a righteous wife. Allah is the one. So all you brothers, value this. Value this. It's very important that we look at the tools we have and be thankful for Allah's ni'mah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing. Right? So Sa'd ibn Abi, and this hadith is in Muslim. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, translation of which, four things are from prosperity. And a righteous woman, number one, a righteous woman, a spacious dwelling, a righteous neighbor, and an agreeable riding beast. And four things are from adversity: an evil neighbor, an evil woman, a bad riding beast, and a cramped dwelling. This hadith is sahih. Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah said it's the standard of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So we see here, we went over this last week, but to put more emphasis on it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He's given you a righteous woman, righteous companion by your side, a spacious dwelling, a righteous neighbor, an agreeable riding beast, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's khair upon you, right? This is the best of things to have in this dunya. The best of things to have in this dunya is a righteous woman, a thankful heart, and a remembering tongue. Last week we went over some attributes of the righteous wife, and we stopped on keeping the secrets of the husband. So just to reiterate these attributes just a little bit, and then we'll start what we picked off. Number one was devotion and obedience to Allah the Most High. Number two, obedience to her husband. Number three, that she guards and preserves herself and her honor in the absence of her husband. Number four, serving her husband. And number five, what we left off, keeping the secrets of her husband. Okay, I thought about this and I reflected and I said, subhanAllah, this needs more emphasis, because looking at the text, even in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were some women who had mouths that needed to be corrected, and this was the best of ummah. Rasulullah ﷺ informed us the best of generation that was his. And even in the best of generation, you had women who would reveal the secrets of their husbands. It's going to happen. So we have to we have to learn how to deal with it. So in learning how to deal with it, knowledge is the first. Knowledge is the imam of all actions, right? We talked about this point last week. However, I would like to put emphasis on the subject. It is an obligation to keep the secrets of the husband. What does this mean? What does this mean? It means that it means to spread objectionable news about your husband without right is a sin. It is a sin. What is a sin? Something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with. And an action that displeases the one who is above the heavens. All those women who are trying to follow the deen of al-Islam and trying to live in accordance to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to keep the secrets of your husband very, 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 very deal, right? All of you Americans know DL means on the download, right? What does this mean? Without right, okay? When I say that it's prohibited to reveal the news of your husband without right, it means, for example, this is some example. If your husband is not working at the time, is this some concern of the sisters and brothers? Well, I have to tell sister, you know that my husband, he ain't working right now. But does she need to know that? Is this going to cause commotion? Is this, by reason, going to benefit or harm, benefit you by telling your husband's secret? And it's prohibited to do so. Okay? Another example. If your husband, he likes to wear a thobe for 4 days straight, right? Is this any sister's business? You have to tell us, sister. If your husband, he doesn't know 8 chapters of the Quran. Well, you know, my husband, he can't even recite 8 chapters of the Quran. How he gonna... This is not no one's business. This is going to cause corruption in society. This is going to shake the backbone of this ummah. The backbone of this ummah is shooken by backbiting and slandering. Revealing the husbands, what my husband doing such and such time. What my husband isn't doing. What my husband should be doing. What my husband should not be doing. This should be taken to the proper authorities. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us in Surah An-Nisa, translation of which I don't know. Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like evil to be spoken except by the one who has been wronged. So when you take it to the proper authorities, this is when you give it its right. For example, if you must talk to someone or speak to someone, speak about your husband in a good way. If you're talking about your husband and he happens to be not present, speak about your husband's good qualities. This is his right over you. And to boast about him. Praise him in front of others in a good way. Right? But still, you have to be careful not to create envy. Except in the case of destructive sin. Okay, if your husband is committing some of the destructive sins, riba, shirk, magic, killed men without right. Some examples of these are accusing a believing woman when she never even thought about committing adultery. If your husband's doing some of these things, then it has to be taken to the authorities so these things can be corrected. Because these erase all the deeds. Shirk erases all of your good deeds. All of them. And if your husband is committing shirk, you do not need to keep this secret quiet. You need to go to the leaders or those whom you respect and try to deal with the situation with the hikmah, with wisdom. Okay? Or if, for example, that's another example, if your husband, or if you feel that your husband is about to divorce you, then don't keep it quiet. Try to do what Allah Azza wa Jalla advised us. Try to go to one of his family member, and say, this is the situation. Get one of your family members, get one of his family members whom he respects, who has good, sound judgment, and say, okay, we need to sit down because I think my husband is about to divorce me. This is this, this is that, and this is that. Right? But yeah, this is some examples, okay? Number six, the sixth quality that a righteous wife she has, and alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, she should appear before her husband in the best appearance. This is one of his rights. Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, he narrates from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked, quote, which of the women is the best? Oh, look at you, the brother's ears. He stood up like rabbits. You talk about greed. Which of the women is the best? Rasulullah ﷺ replied, the one who gives him pleasure when he looks, obeys him when he orders, and does not go against his wishes with regard to herself or her wealth by doing that which he dislikes. Boy, subhanAllah, this is a super Muslimah, right? All of us make a crocodile tears for this woman, right? And indeed, Rasulullah has spoken the truth. Rasulullah telling us, informing us of some of her qualities, is that when he looks at her, he gains pleasure when he looks at her. Obeys him when he orders, and does not go against his wishes with regard to herself or her wealth by doing that which he dislikes. You may hear some brothers or some sisters saying, where can you find that in the Quran? Where can you find that in the Sunnah? Show me hadith, brother! Right? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, obeys him when he orders, does not go against his wishes with regard to herself or her wealth or by doing that which he dislikes. Meaning, your husband, women, ya akhawat, your husband does not have to have a text or some law in a book to tell you you have to clean up, or I don't like you in purple, or I don't like you in yellow, I don't like you to come to their sister's house, I don't like you cooking this, it makes me sick. He does not have to have an ayat of Quran for it to be an obligation for you to do this. Okay, so you have to understand this. Number seven, she should not spend any of his wealth or her wealth except with his permission. From Abdullah bin Umar ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, translation of which, it is not permissible for a woman to give a gift except with the permission of her husband. This is reported with the wording of Abu Dawood and Nisa and Ahmed and Al-Abani rahimahullah, declares it Hassan in his Sahiha. Sheikh Al-Abani, he gave a commentary of this hadith. Sheikh Al-Abani rahimahullah, he said, translation of which, quote, however, it is not becoming for the husband, if he is a sincere Muslim, that he should use this ruling to play the tyrant with his wife and to prevent her from utilizing her wealth in a manner which will not harm either of them. Indeed, this right is very similar to the right of the girl's guardian, who is such that she cannot get herself married except with his permission. But if he unjustly prevents her, then the matter is raised to the Islamic judge for justice to be attained. Likewise is the ruling with regard to a woman's wealth. If her husband oppresses her and prevents her from spending her wealth in a lawful and prescribed manner, then the judge will also bring about justice for her. So there is no problem with the ruling itself, rather the problem is the ruling is misused. So the Sheikh, in a nutshell, is saying that you may have these injunctions from Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, but we should not play the tyrant. Okay, I'm the man. No! You cannot do this, because you're going to break her spirit. You're going to break her enthusiasm. A lot of times you have a woman who will sincerely try to obey her husband, but her husband, he gets the chauvinist attitude. Well, you have to obey me. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said concerning that. Yes, it's right, but you have to call to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in hikmah. You have to remind her, yes, but don't remind her in a way that will break her. Rasulullah, he taught us how to deal with the women. He said the women, translation, the women is like the kidney, or the, not the kidney, but the rib cage, right? Rib cage? Rib bone? Always, and you know, you're going to break her. Don't make things hard, make things easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives the rahmah, who gives the compassion. So make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you amongst those who are moderate to their women. Your women. Number 8, a quality of the righteous wife, she should not permit anyone to enter her husband's house except with his permission. This is a right. Okay? From Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salat wa salam, he said, quote, translation of which, it is not permissible. It is not permissible for a woman to fast when her husband is present except with his permission, nor may she permit anyone to enter his house except with his permission. And whatever she spends in charity without his order, then half of the reward is for him. This hadith is in Al-Bukhari. What is it saying? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, is teaching us our roles in our household, how we should govern our women, how we should be moderate with our women, and how much charge we have inside of the household. Sometimes your husband may dislike a person and you might not know it. Therefore, to ask your husband, oh my beloved, or whatever your wife calls you, oh sugar, or oh honey, or oh whatever, oh whatever, may I bring, or do you mind if I bring, or do you think, don't just bring him and he or she is already at the door and I brought such and such by. No. This is not correct. Rasulullah is saying permission. Or the word is translated as permission. Except with his permission, no man should permit anyone to enter his house except with his permission, and whatever she spends in charity without his order, then half of the reward is for him. You have to consult your husband. Go to your husband. Tell him, okay, I intend to do this. I intend to give this much of wealth. Do you allow me to do this? Because if you need it for some reason, you can use it, but I have intention to do this. And for if she does not go to her husband, then she only gets half of it. And the rest of the half of the charity, and the rest of the half of the charity is for him. It's for him. This hadith is in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Number 9. She should not ask her husband for divorce without a reason necessitating that. From Thawban radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, quote, whichever woman asks her husband for divorce without a strong reason, then the fragrance of paradise will be forbidden for her. This hadith is in Abi Dawud, Tirmidhi, and declared Hassan, and Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah declared it to be sahih to the standard of Muslim. So if you're asking your husband for khula, and I hear the imams and the students of knowledge saying all over America that this is something in America that is full blown. This women asking for khula in America is the same, is at such a rate that AIDS is in Africa. Folks, women are asking for khula like 40 going north. Right? I'm consulting right now on a brother that I know from a different community who calls me every now and then, and he asks me something, and she's in Idda right now, and she asks him for khula in Idda. She's already in Idda, and she has like a month left, and she's okay, I don't want you no more, so I wanted to give me a khula. Subhanallah. What kind of Sharia? What are they following? Are they following the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or are they following their whims and desires? You cannot wait another month or a month and a half. You wanna get it over right now, so probably you can remarry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But you want to ask for a khula, and Rasulullah is saying the fragrance of paradise will be forbidden for her if she asks for a reason that is not necessitating that. The man doesn't drink, he's a good man. He repays his debts, he takes care of his family, but all things she doesn't like is that he's not such and such enough. He should be such and such enough, and he's not such and such enough. And so she asked for a khula in Idda. Subhanallah. So women, please, if you ask for a khula, get advice before you do this. And I'm not just talking about advice from, okay, sister so and so said it's halal to do so. No. You need to talk to a person who has a history of education, credible education, honorable education, who you feel not only has education as well, but understands the Sharia, because it's serious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid your nose from smelling paradise. Who are you going to be with? You can smell paradise 500 years away. 500 years away, you can smell Al-Jannah. And you won't smell the paradise, where in the world are you going to be? This is serious. Servitude to the husbands is very serious. Ya akhwat. So, if your husband is just beating you down to a pulp, And if your husband is making you do the destructive sins and making you do all types of sins, this is where you're okay. I had enough. You're not doing this here. You don't mix. You got some bidah. Or, well, hold up before I say got some bidah, because we'll put bidah on people. No. Okay. Get some advice. Get some instruction. Okay. Get some instruction before you ask for a hula, because I fear this hadith for you, ya akhawat. Number 10, avoiding cursing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, translation of which this hadith is in al-Bukhari and Muslim. He said, or he went out for the prayer ground for the Eid Adha or Fitr. The narrator is saying it was one of the Eids. And he passed by the women and said, O women, give in charity, for I have been shown that you shall be the majority of people in the fire. Subhanallah. So they asked, why is that, O Messenger of Allah? He replied, you curse frequently and you are ungrateful to your husbands. Wallahu musta'an. Look, let's go to our mind's eye and look at the men. Men in general. Men are the ones who are fighting in wars. Men are the ones who are dealing in businesses. Men are the ones who are in leadership roles. They got all this opportunity to commit sins. You would think the men are more in hell than the women, because they're the one interacting so much and leading people astray so much. But Rasulullah said that the women will be more than the men. This is not logic. And then he gave his reason why. He said, you curse frequently and you are ungrateful to your husbands. Allah mustaan. So all those women who claim to be on the sunnah, you cannot ignore this obligation. It's not only something extra, this is something, an obligation. You have to be grateful for your husbands, even if your husband is not working right now, even if your husband has a lot of bills coming to the home, even though your husband may be just in rehab, even though your husband may be in jail, even though your husband may be crippled, one leg, in debt, bankrupt, this does not take the obligation of his rights over you. You have to be grateful to your husband. This is an obligation. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stipulated in his sharia. Number 11, being thankful to the husband for the good he does and for the good treatment to his wife. This is accomplished by good words and by her obedience to him in what is good, and by not forgetting his good treatment and avoiding denying this, since that is the reason which brings about the entry into fire. Wa na'udhu billah. From Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I was shown the fire and I found that the majority of its inhabitants were women. Subhanallah. Due to their ingratitude. It was said, is it that they disbelieve in Allah? He said, they are ungrateful to their husbands and deny the good they do. If you were to treat one of them well always, and she then saw something displeasing from you, she would say, I never saw any good from you. So Rasulullah SAW is getting a little more detail. He gave us the example. The people were confused. Ya Rasulullah, is it because they commit shirk? right? This is what the Sahaba asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, is it that because they disbelieve in Allah? He said, they are ungrateful to their husband and deny the good that they do, their husband's good. He take you to and fro. When you got a meeting, he take you to that meeting. He pick you up. He makes sure you got something to eat. He makes sure you got something in your stomach while you at that meeting. The majority of your risk, your provision, comes via through him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if your husband, if a woman were to treat one of them, the people of the fire, the women of the fire, if one, your husband would always work for you, giving good for you, maintaining you, always from good, and if you did one thing that displeased her, she would say, I never seen any good from you. Subhanallah, wallahu musta'an. And this brings me back to the women of Jahiliyyah. Subhanallah. And if they only had this blessed sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, maybe their disease could be healed. Number 12, and this is the second to the last point for all those brothers whose feet are going to sleep. She should not remove her clothes outside her husband's house. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whichever woman removes her clothes in other than her house, then Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic, will tear down his cover from her. Now, this is me, we get the tafsir on this. Sheikh, he said, Allah, the Majestic, the Mighty, will tear down his cover from her, since because she has failed to take care of what she has been commanded with regard to covering herself from strangers. Then this is the recompense she receives, the recompense of being the type of the action, the validity of the type of the action. What is apparent is that the removal of the clothing means uncovering herself to strange males for the purpose of sexual intercourse, or that which leads to it, as opposed to the case of which she were to remove her clothes amongst women while covering her private parts, since there is no reason for that to enter into this warning. So if this is pertaining to the women who go outside the limits of Allah and show strange males who are not their mahram, to her private parts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the veil. Number 13, and last point, striving to please the husband by every means possible. This hadith has already been preceded, containing the saying of the right of the righteous wife, where she said, I will not taste sleep until you are pleased with me. Okay? Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And I want to just say, ending this subject for the last three classes, for the last 3 weeks, is that it's important that we try to do the best we can to be a righteous woman, to be a righteous wife, and we are not charged past that which we do not have the ability of doing. And another key important thing is that you have to take leadership as women to try to solve the matters of difference between you and your family, if there's any, and to try to use preventive measures by staying away from what your husband may not like. You know that your husband doesn't like you in yellow. So why are you going to wear yellow and blame him for getting mad at you? Does this make sense? What if you knew something? What if you knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not be pleased with you if you wore yellow? Would you wear it? You would never. Right? So why do it when you know your husband isn't? man, you got to hand your paycheck over. Out the door, right? if you don't, the wig coming off, the nails coming off, you got to fight. You got to fight in your home in Jahiliyyah, right? Grease off, oh no, you won't give me that check, right? Coming from that into the submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to do the best we can to try to alter, to counter effect those deep, deep qualities of disobedience and rebellion in the home. And you have to understand that what comes from Allah and His Messenger is the truth, and that which opposes it is batil and darknesses. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Jazakallahu khair.